supervisors, we'll come out of closed session. Council, would you report out?
Yes, the board went into closed session at approximately 9:12 a.m. and came into closed session at 9:48 a.m. with no reportable action taken.
Thank you. We're at item 6A, General Services Airports Update. Good morning.
Good morning.
Joy Hall, Director of General Services. I bring before you today the updates of the airport. We are now in our fifth week of construction at the Meade Airport. Last week they laid the drainage system conduit and did some compaction out there. They'll continue to do that this week and are scheduled for starting some pavement next week. So that's good news. We have officially applied for our AWOS system at Meade Airport. The FAA has accepted our submission. They will probably by August let us know if we've received that money. So everything's into them that they need for that. Cal Flyer will be moving in to Siskiyou Airport on the week of June 16th. And the U.S. Forest Service will be moving in soon after that. Bathrooms are moving forward on there. They have some items ready and they're ordering the other necessary items. And then as far as Happy Camp, we are still trying to schedule the abandonment meeting. I'm hopeful today that we'll be able to schedule that meeting. It's kind of been some phone tag and email tag, but I left a message this morning and I should receive something back when I get back this morning. So that's what I have for airports.
So on the conduit with regard to Meade Airport, I'll call it empty conduit that will be run for the AWOS or whatever may be in the future is going in,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
We won't have to go back and there won't be a whoops that, oh, we forgot?
Nope.
Not you, not us.
Right. In the AWOS system, too, the grant, we actually added some extra things in there as far as electricity and some more conduit. So if they approve that grant, and we never know with the FAA, they could come back and say we're only going to approve this part of it, but if we have it all in our grant, they could potentially approve the whole thing. So we added some extras in there.
Any questions? Supervisor Howe?
Just one comment. I want to thank our CAO and probably your staff for attention to Scott Valley issues that I brought forward as far as maintenance on the runway and janitorial services, et cetera. But thank you very much for taking care of that.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 6B, Health and Human Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Trish Barbier, Director of Social Services Division. We are here today to talk about the California CalWORKs Outcomes and Accountability Review, otherwise referred to as CalLOR. And I think we're working on a presentation here. I will just go ahead and start. I know we have limited time. In August of 1996, Congress enacted federal welfare reform legislation referred to as PERWORA, and that is the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Act, and this act was referred to as welfare reform. PERWORA granted states greater latitude in administering social welfare programs. They also implemented new requirements on welfare recipients as well as time limits, a five-year lifetime limit on receiving benefits, work requirements, and also implemented weekly participation requirements. After the passage of PERWORA, the number of individuals on welfare dramatically declined. I was here at that time, and anecdotally, I recall that we had about 1,200 cases in 1996. The slides will show you that we're down to a little more than 400. So welfare reform over the years has been very effective. California's version of this program is titled CalWORKs. And under the CalWORKs program, each county provides cash assistance and other benefits, including welfare to work activities to all able-bodied adults. So if somebody is receiving welfare assistance and they are able to work, then they are required to participate in what we call work activities. It could be going to school, it could be work, it could be GED, ESL. They're really unlimited in terms of the type of activity. But those activities are modeled after the working world. In April 2024, there were 468 households receiving CalWORKs benefits in the county, and you heard me mention earlier that in 1996 we were at 1,200. To qualify, the families have to meet certain requirements, and that includes having a child under the age of 19. They have to be a U.S. citizen. There are deprivation rules that have to be met, and they also have to meet income and property limits as determined by either the federal government or the state of California. Fast forward to 2017, and this is when the California legislature took a hard look at the CalWORKs program, including its successes and its failures, and they implemented what we refer to as CalOR, or the CalWORKs Outcomes and Accountability Review Process. And this was the first major legislative change for CalWORKs since welfare reform was implemented in 1996. In order to comply with all of the requirements of CalOR, locally we implemented a CalOR team, and there are five of us that have participated on this effort. Myself, Ms. Corey Watson, who is Deputy Director for Social Services, Veronica Rivera, who is Program Manager for the CalWORKs and Welfare Work Program, Ms. Amy Bunt, who is a Human Services Supervisor for CalWORKs and Welfare Work, and also Nancy Thompson, who is not able to... Oh, yes. Nancy Thompson, who is a Staff Services Analyst, and she was not able to join us, and I'm sorry, I missed one. Jamie Kimball, who is also a Program Manager in the department. Corey, Ms. Watson is going to kick off an overview of the project.
So the goal of CalOR is to facilitate and really to mandate the local welfare departments to create a system of accountability and continuous quality improvement in the CalWORKs programs. This was mandated through SB 89 in 2017, but then in AB 79 in 2020 delayed the implementation due to COVID and also extended the cycle from a three-year cycle to a five-year cycle. And through AB 135, there was funding that was reinstated for CalOR to be launched in fiscal year 21-22 with a cycle to run through June 30th of 2026. When CalOR was initiated, there was four cohorts that were created in the state of California, and Siskiyou County is in cohort four. So we have submitted our self-assessment, and we are now asking for approval of our system improvement plan. So the CalOR CQI process really moves through a process where we are mandated to take a look at our programs, really all of the measurements that gauge are the programs that we are providing to the community, helping families become self-sufficient. There's many measures that Veronica will talk about that help us do that. And then once we identify what's working, what's not working, we make a plan of improvement for the services that are being provided to the community. The spirit and intent of CalOR and really continuous quality improvement is accountability. Are we being effective in providing the services? Are we making a change in self-sufficiency in the community? And are we having self-reflection in the services that we are providing? So there's three components to CalOR. Again, the county self-assessment, which is really the county takes a look at all of the measures. We talk about the demographics. We gauge really success. What's working, what's not working. There's performance measures that are given to us by the California Department of Social Services. And then we take those measures, the assessment, reflection that we have done, and we create the system improvement plan.
So our county self-assessment, or... Our county self-assessment, or CSA, that we have completed We really looked at what our CalWORKS program is doing for our community, what strengths do we have, and what challenges do we face as an agency and our division. And then we look at different local operations and decisions that help us figure out what measures we wanted to address in our self-assessment and our system improvement plan. So the different measures that the California Department of Social Services looked at are these that are listed, different things from employment rate, wage progression, rate of program re-entries, or re-entries with those that have had earnings. Where we decided to start was our orientation rate for welfare to work. So once a household has been granted CalWORKS, they are required to attend an orientation for welfare to work to determine where they fit in the program and what they are required to do. So orientation rate was logical for us to choose because it is the first step going from CalWORKS into welfare to work for us to determine where we need to be. The next cycle that will start in 2026 will be looking at these measures that are listed here, and we're going to figure out, you know, where we will be for that next cycle. But right now we're starting at the beginning and leading into our self-system improvement plan.
Good morning, I'm Jamie Kimball, Program Manager at Social Services. So now we've talked about the CSA and the performance goals. Next, we move into the System Improvement Plan, or the CalSIP, which has been presented to you. We begin with this plan, so the next steps in the CalWORKS process is using this county plan to improve our CalWORKS program. And as Veronica stated, we are focusing on our performance measure orientation attendance rate. So under this, we have three improvement strategies that we are focusing on. We are starting at the beginning of this orientation rate. Orientation is, so a household is granted CalWORKS. Right after they are granted CalWORKS, the adult household members are required to participate in welfare at work. The first thing that they do is they participate in orientation. And so that's why we call that starting at the beginning, because that's really their beginning with working with our workers to determine what barriers they have, what needs to happen for them to be able to be self-sufficient. So after that, our next slide, we're going to focus on, we have three strategies to improve our orientation rate. The first strategy is to increase our CalWORKS staffing. We have assessed our current staffing and our training needs, and we're continuing to assess that. We have explored strategies, and we continue to do that to improve our staff retention and to also improve our recruitment. We are assessing internal practices on supervision and staff recognition, and we consistently advertise our open positions. We're also implementing a comprehensive training needs assessment to capture the needs and the ideas for all staff to try to continually improve our training, with the end goal hopefully be to improve on our staff retention. Our second strategy is to implement a more customer-centered approach. So first off, we're going to work with CalWORKS 2.0, and in the SIP it talks a little bit more about that. That is having more of a customer-centered approach, focusing on their families and working with goals with the households and the individuals, setting little goals to accomplish big goals. We're revising our welfare to work orientation content. We are creating or have created a review team to identify improvements to our current business practices and develop a plan of action. And we're also have been increasing our collaboration with partner agencies and organizations. And then finally, our third strategy is to reduce barriers to participation for customers in more remote and outlying areas of the county. As you guys know, Siskiyou County is huge geographically. We have people clear over in Tule Lake in Happy Camp. Well, if you're a household and you don't have jobs and you don't have income, it's a real difficult thing to travel to Wairika to make your appointments. And it's a real reality for a lot of our customers and individuals to kind of give up hope because they're way out. So we're trying to reach out and reach out to them where they're at and reduce these barriers, try to be able to help them in the different locations by our third one having satellite locations, like our office in Mount Shasta. And we're working with Tule Lake and Happy Camp with the family resource centers to be able to reach them so that we can help them to begin the program to start on their paths of self-sufficiency.
So with all this CalOR process here, we definitely have tracking and deadlines and reports that will be given to the state. And we will be doing those at least twice a year up until the end of this cycle. So it will be a continuous thing. So it's all about accountability. Accountability for me and my team and accountability for our customers as well. As far as the progress report goes, again, we will be updating on the performance and measures that we discussed previously in this orientation here. And as far as our desired outcomes, we would like to increase the welfare of work orientation by 5%, which overall will increase participation and hopefully will increase our self-sufficiency. And I am honored to present, we do have a success story here today, and it is my lead worker. So here is Amethyst.
Hello, I'm Amethyst Carl. I'm currently employed by the county of Siskiyou as an employment and training worker 3. In 2012, I fled the state of Texas with my infant son due to domestic violence. I moved back home with my mother here in Siskiyou County. When my unemployment ended, I applied for CalWORKS. When I was first approved, I was a mandatory welfare work participant. While enrolled in welfare works, my employment training worker was able to identify that I've been struggling with PTSD. Thanks to her observations, I was then referred to the Higher Ground program. While in the Higher program, I received treatment for my PTSD in a safe environment. In 2014, social worker Angie Zubelt helped me get enrolled at College of the Siskiyous, where I would start my path to higher education. I was then tested for a learning disability through the CalWORKS program, and I learned that I have a learning disability, and with that was given the tools and resources to be successful in college. Because of the support I received in Welfare to Work and Higher, I knew I wanted to focus my education on helping other families. Karen Zerbier, who was my employment training worker at the time, got me into work experience, otherwise known as WEX. While in the WEX program, I worked as a clerical assistant to Amy Von Tenlin at the Higher program, and then moved to Health and Human Services Agency. When WEX ended, I had enough experience to participate in the Expanded Subsidized Employment ESE program. While in this program, I worked closely with the Welfare Work Unit, and I knew my desire was to work full-time as an employment and training worker. Since I had not fully qualified for the employment and training work position, I applied for other jobs within the county to gain experience that I needed. Fast forward to today, where I have not only completed my associate's degree in 2017 in social science, but am now the lead worker for the Welfare Work Employment Training Unit at Health and Human Services. With the CalWORKS and Welfare Work programs, I am self-sufficient, have a healthy family of my own, and in my dream job where I'm able to hopefully be as impactful to the families and community as my employment training worker was for me.
So we're excited that Amethyst was able to share her story. She is a success story of the CalWORKS program. Some other resources that we wanted to share with you guys is the requirements of CalOR. So we will submit a progress report next year in April 2025, and then another progress report in June of 2026. That is where we come, we evaluate, is what we're working towards working. And then in July 1st, 2026, the cycle will start over again, where we will go right from the beginning. We'll be here giving you a presentation and talk about what worked, what didn't work, and what our next goal is. There are some public-facing data websites that you can go on, and it will show how Siskiyou County is doing in all of the measures that Veronica presented. And on the next slide, and in the presentation that was provided, you can access these websites where it goes over the CalOrg dashboard is what it's called, the performance measures, and then the data dashboard. And any questions can be directed to the CalOrg inbox if there's state-level questions, or if you guys have any questions for us, we would be willing to share any more information you guys would like. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Do we have an opportunity to comment at all, or are you
Please.
Done, or are we at that point?
The presentation is concluded, and we welcome any questions that you have.
Board members, anything? Supervisor Chris?
Thank you. A little aside here, I sent you these questions ahead of time, but I have to hit send on drafts.
Oh, no.
So that's why I didn't get these questions ahead of time. I apologize for that.
Okay.
Are we partnering with Siskiyou Works at all, that program called Siskiyou Works?
Yes, we have a partnership with Siskiyou Works. We have a partnership with Smart. Sorry, yes, the Smart Business Center as well, the local WIOA in the community. So, yes.
Both with Smart and with Siskiyou Works.
Yes.
Okay. And then the Siskiyou Works also a potential path for the lady that just spoke, is it also a potential path for internal employees? Siskiyou Works, the kind of the goal for that is to get those kids career paths right out of high school.
You know, we've not explored that,
okay.
Supervisor, but it's definitely something that we can explore. We also work closely with the College of the Siskiyous for their alcohol and drug programs.
Okay.
They offer a couple of certificates, both in, I think it's substance abuse counselors and also human services certificates. And so we are working at actually having an intern join us who is going through the program right now, and she needs to complete her internship hours.
Yeah, I was saying that, you know, internal staff trying to hire Siskiyou Works, the goal is to get a high school kid or college kid to realize there is a path, and locally hired people are so much more better to get locally hired than try to recruit somebody from somewhere else. Sometimes you get lucky, you get someone from Texas, but you know, so that's kind of trying to recruit you know, the local people and try to get that talent.
Great idea, thank you.
FRCs, you're working with Tula Lake and Happy Camp, the resource centers out there. McLeod also has an FRC to work with as part of the collaborative. For Butte Valley, there's unfortunately not an FRC within the valley there. It's not as far as Tula Lake, but it is. I tell this story, the only time people from Tula Lake and Butte Valley come over to Waireka is jury duty and pay taxes. And so it's just an outlying area. I'd be happy to help with connections there. They're trying to get a family research center started. Do you have any contacts or the mobile van? Is that a tool?
That is definitely a tool, but we do work collaboratively with all of the family resource centers,
right.
Mostly through the other programs, because as I mentioned in my earlier presentation or during public comment, they are what we call application assisters, and so they help the general public apply for the various programs that we administer. Now with the lifting of COVID, we are trying to get back out into the community again since things have opened up again to reestablish those relationships and further our connections in those communities.
In regards to that, is there a gap there in Butte Valley right now?
We have been working closely with the collaborative and also with First Five Siskiyou, who is kind of our connection through the CAPC meetings and those types of things. So any information that you can provide would be helpful so that we can further establish that.
And then for PAFE, the Family Resource Centers, if they are getting somewhat compensated for filling out the form, does it cover the actual cost, or is it a subsidy for what they do, or does it cover their actual cost for helping fill out the forms in their time?
I believe they receive a per-person fee or stipend. Yes, thank you. From the state, but the state hasn't been very open with the counties about those relationships or those contracts, and so the FRC's contract directly with the California Department of Social Services and also the Department of Healthcare Services for those opportunities.
Are they happy with those contracts, or is it?
I'm not sure. I think they are. When I've been made aware of different expansions that the state agencies have offered, I reach out to the various community or FRCs, and they have the opportunity to apply directly for them. Sometimes they're selected and sometimes they aren't. Unfortunately, some of those expansion efforts happen more in the larger communities or the larger counties than the small, which is unfortunate.
All right. And that's all my questions.
Yeah. Great questions, thank you.
Just a few. You took my thunder.
Oh.
But you got a lot of questions answered for me. One of the top questions was, who are your partners? And we just learned a lot about who your partners are, so thank you. Staff retention and capacity. I know that's such a huge problem. How successful are you with retaining new staff, and is that improving as this program progresses and you're coming up with new ideas, and we're losing newspapers and our media is shrinking? Is that, how are you doing with that?
It is definitely a challenge. I will tell you, during COVID, we struggled. We were down with, we had a 40% vacancy rate across our division, and it was a challenge. We have improved significantly in some of the areas. Most of our areas have improved with improved in their vacancy rates with less than a 10% vacancy rate. The only area, as the Director of Social Services, I'm also over the Protective Services, which include Child Welfare and Adult Protective Services. The area that we struggle with the most is in our social worker position and the Protective Services programs, and they are about 40% vacant right now. And so we still struggle with that. We've been talking internally, also working with personnel in doing or planning job fairs. And so we're in discussion right now to do a job fair specifically for our social worker recruitment. We have implemented bonuses. I think we need to implement larger bonuses. It just doesn't pay enough for the difficult work that is required in those positions. But I think overall we have improved with the lifting of COVID and also working closely with personnel. So we're in a much better position than we have been in the prior few years.
Is that a statewide or?
It is definitely statewide. It is a problem. You know, we travel to Sacramento on a monthly basis, actually most of the team that's here today, to attend various state meetings. And every county shares their struggles with the state agencies that we support. And the state has heard us clearly about the retention and the recruitment problems that we've had. So yes, it's a statewide problem.
Okay. One other question. How much time is spent monitoring these programs and putting these programs together versus the time spent actually helping the people that need the help? What's the capacity ratio? What's the time ratio? Especially considering the issues with hiring.
Great question. I think one benefit that we have is because we have oversight from both the federal government and the state government, the regulations for the programs are passed down to us. So we have that framework already in place. What we have to do as a local county is to figure out how we administer them. And that's all of the policy and the procedure and the staff and the various classifications that we use. And so we've had success building that over the years. They've been in place for decades. I think, you know, the real spirit of CalORT is just about continuous quality improvement, going back to the table, and where you can identify challenges in the programs, improving them. And that's what we're held accountable to through CalOR. And also outcomes and accountability is also in our child welfare programs. And so we have learned. Corey came over to eligibility from child welfare, and so she already had that background behind her. And so it was perfectly timed, I will just say, in that she was able to bring over all of her experience in the child welfare outcomes and accountability process to the CalOR and CalWORKS teams. So.
Yeah, that brings up one more question for
okay.
me. Is funding based on these numbers?
Funding is based on the work that we do, and so I call it our little Bible of time study codes, and so every minute that is spent on work through California Department of Social Services and also Department of Healthcare Services is tracked. And so workers have to track everything they do based on these approved activities. Those activities are collected on a monthly basis and submitted to the state on a quarterly basis through a quarterly claim process, and that's how we draw our money down. And so, yes, we have a small allocation. I think they gave us 120 or 30 to implement this specific project. But for the most part, our regular work or a regular funding source comes from the work that we do for all of the 16 programs that we administer. And so we track them very carefully to the minute and submit all of that to the state and also to the county for some of the programs that we administer at your direction and at your will.
Thank you. One more thing, I just want to say congratulations, Amethyst. You're a product of what these services help us with, and without hearing these kinds of stories, the public never knows what these services produce, and that helps a lot for people to hear. So thank you.
She was very brave to come before the board today, and I applaud her for doing that.
The
staff are very dedicated to the work that they do, particularly for those where we can really make a difference. CalWORKs is one of those programs. Not every program has the same work requirements that CalWORKs does. CalFresh, for example, does not. At this time, it does not. And so when we can work directly with our families to make a difference in their lives and connect them to the workforce, to educational opportunities, things of that sort, we appreciate that. And it makes us want to come back the next day. And so it's very rewarding in that aspect.
So always good stories.
For sure.
Thank you.
I'll just leave it with one last question. I know through the new MSHA funding mechanism that we're going to be up against, we're going to lose preventative dollars. Are we looking to the future of how to supplement that loss of dollars to the FRCs through some of our other agencies?
I think we are always exploring that. The FRCs are connected in the communities. We want to be as well, but I think with staffing issues and limitations that we have with the mandates and timeframes that we have, it has been a struggle. As I said, we're committed to going back out into the communities and to collaborating with them as much as we can to not only meet the need, their needs to help them sustain, sustain their operations, but also to assist the clients that we are tasked with serving. So yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
With that, I'm going to take 5 minutes recess for 5 minutes. Okay.
Thank you.